When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is a Phonik Media production.
Hey, welcome. Have you got a burning question? Today on the podcast, we answer that burning question, and I'm burning my finger.
Ow.
That's not even out. I can't even stub it out. I've got no shoes on. Throw your tea at it. Hey, friend.
Hey, friend.
Something a little bit different on the podcast today. If you're watching to this, it's quite obvious. If you're listening to it, maybe a little bit less obvious.
You might hear some birds.
Let's get the ambient background noise.
Tweet, woo. Tweet, woo. That's an owl. But that was. You know what I mean? Very. You can hear them, though.
What?
It's a lot of noise in the garden.
So we're in the garden. So here's the thing, right? We've got to be open. We've got to be honest. We've got to be transparent. We've got to tell the truth.
So authentic, guys.
We are so authentic. But we have been really busy in the last week. We have. I hate using that phrase.
We're like, oh, I'm just so busy.
Like, we literally have been so busy.
Not been in the house together. Really.
And we haven't really been in the house together. I've been out recording loads of stuff. You've got about 17,000 projects on all at the same time.
Like a couple of months ago, we were having a meltdown where like we felt like everything was going, not wrong, but it was just really tough. It's now almost gone
the other way.
Completely the other way. Where
so
we've
now it's
got
different tough.
Too much work on that it's...
Nice problem to have.
Yeah. Not complaining.
Not complaining, universe.
Anyway.
You might hear... In the background, we're out in the garden because we're recording this now at like 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday. So I looked at my watch, it has run out.
Could you imagine on a Saturday night back in our youth, you said a great Saturday night would be sitting in our garden recording a podcast?
Having a cup of tea with your best mate.
Oh yeah, got my tea.
Got our tea. But yeah, so you might hear a bit of background noise. You might hear some birds. You might hear some neighbours. You might hear some cars driving past. We're very lucky. We live in a really nice area and it's... sort of like countryside. You might hear a train. There's a little train line. You might hear a little.
You might hear a goat.
You might hear a goat. You might hear.
We don't
do you know what we get around here? Right. I mean, this is not bullshit. You get green parakeets. Do you know where the green parakeets came from?
No.
So we mentioned it earlier. Actually, we were talking about this before we started recording. Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
In the 1800s, Crystal Palace was home to a massive aviary.
Okay.
So it was home to the World Fair in like 1860 or something. Hello, history lesson, you say.
Wow, in that 18... knowledge that you read when we go around those museums.
That you don't ever pick up on. But anyway, it was owned after Crystal Palace was done for the World Fair. They used to have like a World Fair, so people would bring like amazing stuff from around the world and people would get together and basically showcase their countries effectively. And then after, I think it was bought as a private residence and the guy had a huge aviary. Now, one of the aviaries, that's where you keep birds, and one of the aviaries, one of the cages, either it broke or they got let out.
Yeah.
But that's why we've got green parakeets in southeast London. They're like from 100 years worth of lineage of exotic
Quite
birds.
Interesting. I'll give you that.
There you go.
Also, just if Factoids. You are watching on YouTube or one of the other channels.
What other channels are you on? Channel 4, fucking big in the game.
I don't know, you might see us on Instagram, Facebook.
Okay.
If my eyes suddenly get really red, it's because I've got really bad hay fever at night. So
I'm literally
suddenly
just
I can't see.
Look at this fluff.
That'd be why.
Fuck off, fluff.
So it's going to be a bit of a different podcast because we're al fresco, number one. We don't have a...
Hayley said, do you want to do it al fresco? And I was like, okay, cool. I was there.
He was excited.
Trousers
was like,
off.
No, not that.
Pants off. Cock and balls out in the garden.
Oh, James. I mean, who would want to see that? Luckily, we haven't got any neighbours that can see that.
No.
So I said, why don't we do it al fresco?
Yeah.
And... I said, this is what I actually said, you know, like when a pop star has like a really good song and then they release like a really shit version, like an acoustic version.
So
it's almost like
set.
An acoustic podcast. So we've not got our jingles. We've not got, all our little overtures. So it's just us.
Just chatting.
Raw guys.
Raw dogging.
Raw.
Raw bareback. Bareback podcasting. That's what we're doing today, guys. But what we have got is this. You can...
Which is a plant pot.
It's a plant pot. Think. This is the jar of truths.
Yep.
So instead of just having like a chit chat, we're going to pull out a question
from
the jar of truth. There's some questions there. You can hear this from an audio standpoint. There you go.
Look at
you can hear the jar of truth. And we're going to basically answer the jar of truth questions.
Here we go.
Do you want to pick one?
You go.
Stick your hand in my jar.
Oh, hello.
Oh, we've got some citronella candles on the go as well for bugs.
Oh.
That's strong, isn't it? Citronella.
It is. So we've put together some questions and we thought we'd pick them out. And then we don't know which one comes next.
Oh, my God, guys. We are as excited and
This mic's very heavy, so it's very candid.
Sorry.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
So here's our question. If you could be...
There you go. You hear the train in the background there?
If you could be an animal, what would you be?
Oh, if I could be an animal.
You could be an animal. So not what you look like.
I look like a shark.
If it looked like, I'd be like a hawk or something. Yeah. Like an eagle.
Eagle.
Bird, like a beak.
Do you know what, though? I think I probably would be a flying animal.
Yeah?
Just imagine flying. Imagine the ability to, like, soar. You know, like when like, if you go to the countryside and you see those kestrels.
Yeah.
And they're not even moving. They don't flap their wings.
Wow.
But they just
soar.
They just soar, but they pick up the hot air circulation.
Like,
yeah, but I'd be a bird, so I wouldn't care, would I?
I do. Do you think birds get scared of heights?
They're pretty shit. Birds if you are did.
Like, oh my God, no, guys.
Guys can't do it.
I can't get off the tree.
But I'm all right with, like, once you get above a certain height, like above maybe like 100 foot, then I'm okay. Like in a plane, I'm fine. Or when we did Sydney, do you remember we did the Sydney Harbour Bridge climb? Like walking out from the, when you do it, you sort of walk across the road.
Yeah, from like road level to getting up to the bridge.
But you're probably like 200 feet off the road. And awful. I was like, oh, this is awful. But then when you get so high up, everything's just like little dots.
But when you walk
from one bridge to remember, because it's like, if you've ever seen the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it's got two big bits. And at the top, there's a plank, not a plank, I'm fucking over-dramatising it here, but you walk across a different way, don't you? Do you remember you go across the middle? That's quite high.
I don't know. Like,
I think I'd be a bald eagle.
I'm really bad with heights. A bald eagle.
I'd be a bald eagle.
What you'd be. I could see you as a bald eagle.
Yeah,
maybe
massive.
You were a bald eagle in like former life. Previous life.
I was an angry little bald eagle.
I think would have to be. It would be a cat. I'm a massive fan of like the cat family, but not like a shit cat, like a shit house cat. I think I'd go for a leopard because I wear a lot of leopard print, and I think.
Hold on, you're saying you would be a leopard
I love being out in the kind. I could see me being in the heat. I love like the look of them.
You love chasing your dinner.
Yeah, I'm
they
really
look cuddly.
Well, yeah, I mean they're not, but they look it, don't they? They're just like you just want to stroke them. I mean they probably take your face off, but and they're so athletic like me.
Mm,
you know,
I can see
like
that.
They run so fast.
Like you,
I just like me.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know. I just feel like I'd be at one. Being a leopard.
Okay. Well, maybe the guys in the office.
And also I'm a Leo, so I always think like there's something there with like the animal of like the lion, cat. Oh God, that's good.
See, you might have seen this on the camera and you might pick that up. Thanks. So we had at one point the sun was setting and someone's in my face, so I've put a brolly up like a sun visor thing up.
The brolly has seen better days.
It's gone over in the background. Anyway, we'll battle through.
That scared the life out of me, but it's like a delayed reaction.
Do you know what though? Your reactions were so quick, like a leopard. I thought you were just going to climb up a branch. Is it a leopard that climbs up a branch? Was that a cheetah? Which one climbs trees?
A leopard doesn't change its spots.
Like useful, right? Okay.
If only we had these sound effects.
There you go, parakeets.
Oh, hello.
There's a flock of them.
Oh, I like it. I feel
can
like
you see
I'm,
it?
I feel like
I look like I'm fucking David Attenborough.
I know. I was going to say, this is what David Attenborough feels like.
And here we find two fucking idiots in their garden recording a podcast. Right,
drink
question.
A cup of tea. I was going to say, we'll be best mate, but it's not our tagline, is it?
It's not our tagline. It's your own tagline. Oh, this is good. This is deep.
Is it? Oh, God.
Name a person that has led to train. Name a person that has led you to become who you are today.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess everyone has an impact, don't they, ultimately?
Yeah.
But, yeah, who would be your person?
Are we going, like, practical?
Who knows? How do you take it? It's an open-ended question. How do you take the question? What do you feel do you know, want
so,
to?
It's so random because when you said that, someone came into my head and it is such a random person.
Just say it.
That I've almost got to say it.
Go on.
So it's a lady called Jane Maguire.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is weird. Okay. Shout out Jane Maguire.
I have no idea, but you read
guys,
that question.
I've never known this many parakeets be in our garden, by the way. It's like
we're... Dr. Doolittle.
I feel like I'm gone for a cupboard into fucking Narnia.
So when, as you know, our history, I used to work for Thomas Cook as an entertainer overseas, and Jane Maguire was like the kind of like the big boss of the whole of the entertainment.
She was, wasn't she? You had like section. Entertainers, yeah. You had head entertainers, you had supervisors, then
and
you
then
had...
She was like the UK person who managed like the whole boss, shebang. And she was just such a, I would say like an... It's never been noisier out here.
Turns out there's a...
apps, working abroad, flying overseas. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Do you know what they call that? In movies, they call this prophetic fallacy.
Brilliant.
When the noise...
So when I worked overseas... But she was
didn't
like,
want the knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, was you going to bore us again? I'll carry on. Or is it me talking right now? It's me.
You carry on.
Moving on. So she was just a really, like, if I think back, she was a really empowering woman. She was really, like, in control. She ran that whole business. Everyone just sort of loved her. She really, like, commanded a room. But more than anything, I think looking back, that was probably the start in my career of feeling so... like doing something that I felt so aligned with, like I felt like I was in such the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And she was someone that just saw like a spark in me, and I guess in a way she probably helped me to, like, I don't know, like to do better.
Did she encourage you to be a head entertainer?
Yeah,
that
I think
stuff?
She did. I think she just saw something in me, and she was just very supportive and very encouraging.
Because I guess when you started out, because when Thomas Cook first started entertainment, putting entertainment into hotels. Yeah. There's probably, what, six teams, seven teams, something like that?
Yeah.
Like four or five people. Yeah. Right? So there's only like 30 or 40 stuff. So like in terms of direct reports, she would have had just a couple. But in terms of the whole team who worked
under her.
Yeah, I think there's
more. I think it's probably about 50, 60. But
you can still know everyone at 50, 60 people, can't you?
And she'd come on like the training courses with us, and she was like one of the team. But I don't know. She just literally came into my head. And it's not... you know, because there's obviously other people in my life that have had an impact, of course. But it just suddenly took me there.
Interesting.
Isn't
I wouldn't
that weird?
Have thought that.
I have no idea.
I thought you were going to go for either your cousin Danny or Psychic Sally.
See, it was... yeah, so my cousin Danny was the one that I guess I would have said, because he was an inspiration, because he was someone who just lived life to the full. He was well educated, well travelled, had friends.
God, he was handsome as well.
He just lived life. I know, like, that sounds really corny and people say that, don't they? But he really did. Like, he was super...
he was a journalist, a barman.
Yeah.
He just, like...
super intelligent, but he would do whatever job he wanted to do, just to be where he wanted to be, meet the people he wanted to meet, and he was an inspiration.
What
and like I say, I wish sadly he passed away when he was, like, 32. Mm. And I think now, gosh, you know, I wish I'd... He lived in Australia at the time, do you remember? And he was always, like, come out, and we never did, until after, sadly, he passed, didn't we? And I always think, oh, I wish... I spent more time with him, but I think he was definitely an inspiration of someone that I knew that made things possible.
Mm.
Yeah, and Psychic Sally, I mean, let's just not go there. I think there's some good and some bad to
probably
come
is.
Out of that
I think
experience.
There's some good and bad in most experiences,
don't
there?
She was a pretty cool person
to
work for.
She was very... important in your story though, and who you've become today,
massively.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Second airplane going over.
Hello.
I've never even
Where's
noticed.
Where's all these people going?
That's
anyway,
the Emirates. So I reckon they're going to the United Arab Emirates.
Okay,
in UAE.
Brilliant. You, James.
Person that led me to become the person I am today.
Yeah.
Right. So I could either take this in one of two ways. I'm going to take it in a positive way.
Okay.
Because I think that's nicer. But I was.
I think I might have just worked out the negative, but.
2006. I stopped being in a boy band called Boys Aloud. True story. And
big deal, guys.
Big deal. X Factor. Failed.
You might have heard them on the podcast.
Might have heard me on the podcast. Yeah, and a couple of weeks ago. But when I left that band, like, I had always just done like fun stuff for a job. Like, I was like a bricklayer's labourer for a couple of years with my mate after I left. Like, work selling suits, just because that was easy. That was a holiday, right?
We don't need to go through your whole history
and
of
then,
work. It's just, we haven't got
I've
then
had that job in the winter when I used to come home from, which we've never talked about, which
we'll
never talk about.
We'll never talk about that.
Had a very interesting delivery job, let's just put it like that. Was not a drug dealer. I realised I just made myself sound like a drug dealer. But, yeah, then after a certain period of time, me and you had just got engaged, and I was like, do you know what? Like, if we
the
were
rushed
actually
engagement.
That wasn't a rushed engagement.
So it was.
It wasn't.
We got married like 9 years later.
Yeah, because just didn't get around to it. Anyway, who are you talking now? Me? And you? Me and you? So then I went and worked in a thing called broadcast PR. But I didn't know what broadcast PR was. I thought it was just going to be on the radio, and I was really misguided. It was effectively, it was a sales job. But it was almost like missold to me.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Clever.
But equally, when I look back, some of the people that went through that place, one has gone on to become a Radio 1 DJ, Louisa Zizerman, off Apprentice, she worked there. Someone who's like now an editor of a magazine, a green sort of like ecological magazine. A guy who's on SBS in Australia worked there at the time. So some pretty,
you know, me. Obviously.
I mean, it's just a bunch of, legends. But there was one lady there, because everyone, no one really took the job serious, because for a lot of people, they come straight out of university, straight out of getting degrees. A lot of people, because it had the word PR in it, had got PR or marketing
shiny
degrees,
penny,
and they wanted to come and do that. But as I say, it was more of a sales job, and there was only one person there who didn't really sort of disregard it, and she sort of seized the opportunity that it could be, and that was my friend Efrasini.
I knew you were going to say
and
her.
Efrasini, I will never forget.
She's a legend.
I love Efrasini. Shout out Efrasini if she ever sees this clip. But she, I remember she said to me, like everyone else was sort of like, and I was a bit of a dosser there, to be brutally honest. And you were sort of like,
dosser or tosser?
Probably both, a dosser tosser. and we, you know, you'd kind of like work to just like go to the pub at the end of the day and get drunk. And we just,
Friday, it was just bad. Crazy.
But anyway, Efro was, Efrasini, not Efro. She didn't like me called Efro, even though it just makes sense to be called Efro. Anyway, story for another time. She, I remember one day she said to me, what do you consume? What do you read on the train to work? And at the time, I was like, I'd listen to music, I'd read the Metro newspaper, but I had an hour and a half commute there and an hour and a half commute back. So when you've got 3 hours a day, what are you doing with it? And I was like, just reading the newspaper or listening to music. I was just being pissed off about the train or something. Like, as I would say, as a sort of semi-idiotic mid-20-year-old. And she went, right, read this book. And I was like, okay. And it was a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Wow.
And she gave me a copy of it. And she went, just read this book and see what it will do for you. And I was like, okay. And I was like, whatever. So I went to the train. And I was like, I'll get on the train anyway. I read it. And that was it. That was me
hooked.
Changed
your life.
And I literally got into personal development from there.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. She gave it to me on a Friday. And I remember by Monday I'd finished it. And I was like, oh my fucking God, this has changed my life.
That's amazing. That actually probably had a real pivotal step.
Massive. That changed the direction of my life.
She is an incredible...
She's a force of nature.
Yeah, she's just got a... You know when someone talks and it's almost like they're like, it's like a Morgan Freeman monologue every time they talk. She's like that, isn't she? She's so much wisdom.
She's very wise.
Positivity.
And whatever she's done, she's always done very well.
Very well.
So she was quite big in sales in Cyprus, where she was from. She wanted to get off of Cyprus because she's like, you know, it's a very small country, it's a very small island, blah, blah, blah. She came to London, she smashed that job. She was, you know, she's the top earner, the top biller month after month after month.
Definitely a positive mindset.
Yeah.
A lot to be said for that.
But yeah, so she was, and that book, that really, and that's still my favourite book of all time. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, and it was given to me by Efrasini on a Friday afternoon.
I love
and that changed my life. So the person that changed me, who led me to become who I am today, Efrasini.
I love it. Can you hear this?
Time to go back in the jar.
New round.
The jar of...
Jar of hearts, you're tearing love apart.
Oh, I hated that song. Don't sing that.
Do you remember that when it came out?
It
you hated
everywhere,
it.
Wasn't it?
And then everyone loved it. Everyone just loved it, and you were like, oh.
I couldn't stand it. It's still unlocking out.
Who do you think you are?
Don't keep singing it. Don't need more of it.
All right. Oh, here we go. If you could meet anyone, dead or alive, and we've got two, in business and for fun. So if you could meet anyone, dead or alive, in business.
Ooh, this would be hard for you because you don't like people,
God,
do you?
Nobody
inspires
nightmare.
Me. I inspire myself because I'm so amazing. Are you amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, there must be someone.
In business.
Anyone in business?
You go first, because you'll have
someone. Have you really not got anybody?
I'm honestly sat here, but it could also be that my brain just isn't working lately. I think it's part of the perimenopause. I literally can't think. Like, I'm sat here going, I can't think of anyone.
Has been 30 degrees today, and we've battled two children.
Who's yours? Because you've probably got a
Richard Branson.
Million. Okay.
Richard Branson would be my business person that I'd love to meet. Love to meet Richard Branson. I just think he's fascinating. And I've always liked him. Do you know what I really find, though? And I'm not saying this just because I do podcasts, but I think that podcasts have become almost like a gateway drug to being able to listen to the wisdom and the insights of those people.
Yeah.
I'm listening to a podcast at the moment called Acquired. It's unbelievable. But they talk about LVMH, so Louis Vuitton. What's the M? LVMH. Moët and Chandon. It's Moët, by the way, not Moët. I found out in that podcast. And Hennessy. So that collaborative group of brands. The guy who owns that is now the richest man in the world. A guy called Bernard Antoine or something like that.
Yeah.
But their story, I mean, they literally, it's a 3-hour podcast. It goes on and on and on. But it's literally every step that was taken to build that business.
Really?
And I'm like, oh my God. And then so I'm finding now, like the president of Shopify was on Bartlett a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, I've never even listened to any of his content. He's unbelievable. He's so intense. They've done $400 billion of sales through Shopify.
Wow.
Like at one point, I think half the internet sales purchases were through Shopify. And this guy's just on a podcast telling you how he's done it.
Yeah.
So there's lots of, I guess, like newer entrepreneurs. I'm like, oh, how are you doing that? That's quite interesting. But no, Branson. But the deal would be I'd have to go and meet him on his island.
Yeah.
I'd have to go to Necker Island.
That would be a good excuse,
That'd be my business
it?
Person.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because there's so many people that I could just
I suppose you live with a business icon, don't you? So.
But I could sit here and say lots of people that I think.
Say one then.
Oh wow,
one.
That would be amazing! Like, how do they get to? But it's, do you know what it is? It's really bad. But it's always like more like people that have probably become almost like a celebrity, and then they've used that to create different brands. I find that really interesting.
Okay.
So like Ryan Reynolds, for example. Oh. Like I just think. I mean, obviously,
modern day.
I love
he'd be
him.
My modern day guy.
I love him. In his films and as an actor, but I love his personality, how he comes across, and I just find it so interesting to see how he's like set up his own obviously you've got the Wrexham Football Club and then it's the drink business, the
Aviation Gin,
and I just think I don't know. It just amazes me, and I'd almost.
He's got a mobile phone company, Mint Mobile. He's just sold he sold a stake for $300 million.
I just find him fascinating, and I'd want to know almost like sounds silly, like how much involvement do they have in those actual projects, or is it like, do you know what I mean?
His name's been put to it.
Yeah, I'd love to just.
Well, I think
down
they do the marketing.
Like,
I think so. He's got a company called Maximum Impact,
right?
And they seem to do the advertising, or they do it at least do the creative. And his company is Maximum Impact. So they make, like Deadpool is a Maximum Impact film.
Yeah.
But then they've got Maximum Impact Creative. So they do like the Mint Mobile, all of the collaborations with like the Wrexham sponsors and all that stuff. They've got a team that do that. So I would imagine he's quite involved in that stuff. But interesting, but like day to day, how much?
I think it's
operation
something
wise.
I need to sort of work on because like I read loads of books.
Why do you need to? Because like, do you know what? You just take action because there's so many people
and then
who are
I'll take something from it and I think, wow, amazing. Like Jen Sincero, her book, Badass at Making Money. And I was like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. But then for me, I've read that book. I've taken what I needed. It kind of stops there. Like, I can't explain it. I don't then go and like follow her and find out. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad
because
thing.
Because so many people who, you know, the amount of people that I listen to who, you know, again, I've sort of mentioned it, Stephen Bartlett's podcast. Mm. Whenever I'm talking to clients, it comes up again and again and again.
Of course.
Because obviously it's the biggest one, well, it's one of the biggest shows in the UK and one of the biggest ones in Europe. And they're making, you know, inroads into the States now. I know some of Bartlett's team quite well. And, you know, they've got a really, really impressive outfit. You know, 33 people work on that show. So it is super impressive. But for me, again, whether you listen to the, you know, the president of Spotify, responsible for $400 billion in sales, or Mo Godat, who is the former chief innovation officer at Google X, or, you know, these amazing people, Branson, he's been on there, these amazing people that have been on. But how many people are listening for any more than entertainment? I think people consume business content like it's entertainment these days, which is fine because, like, I would say my business, a business is my hobby.
I
love it. You know, I don't really have hobbies. Like, I like going to the gym. I like hanging out with you and the boys. That's kind of it. And business, that's me done. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But like, you take action. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah,
but you learn
thing.
It
like,
and, you know, you execute on it. Whereas lots of people, like me included, I'll read a book for the fact of reading a book.
Yeah.
No, Jay Shetty's book. I was like, oh, it's unbelievable. I nearly interviewed Jay Shetty to talk to him about his book. So I was obviously reading it really in-depth because it was lined up for us to chat to him. Letmedownlastminute.com. Shout out Jay Shetty. But I read that book. I'm like, oh, it's unbelievable. So powerful. What have I used from it? Fuck all.
Yeah.
Nothing. So you're better. You're
but
a better
no, I do
being.
Have obviously lots of people that look up to him and find it inspirational. It's like Canva, for example, because I use it and I love it. And I like, see how fast that's growing. That I find, oh my God, that's amazing.
You should
like,
interview her then. You should meet her.
See, I don't even know the name. That's the thing.
Kim
I just don't retain the information.
But you're an action taker, so I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay,
anyway,
so dead or alive, if you can meet anyone.
Did you pick someone then?
Dead or alive. I said Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, but you just want to bonk him.
That was business. Anyway. I don't know. Fun. If you can meet anyone dead or alive, fun. For fun. Ooh. Do you know what? I think for me, I'd want to meet one of the Beatles.
Really?
Yeah, I'd love it. Ringo Starr.
Yeah, okay.
I would just love to just, I don't know, like, just how fun to just really go on that journey with them and really, like, understand the ins and outs. What was it all really like? Because they literally took the world by storm.
Yeah.
I just think I'd love to know, like, yeah, what went on behind closed doors.
Do you know who I would like to meet? But, like, early version, not now version.
Yeah.
I think Elton John.
Oh, okay.
Elton John during his ascendancy when he was doing like 600 grand a month on flowers and he was coked off his nut and he was just like in the midst of that. I just think he would just be brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
what's the film?
Rocket Man.
Brilliant film.
Brilliant, yeah.
And if you haven't watched it, watch it because it really gives you an insight into Elton John.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know anything about.
No.
I love Elton John.
But I don't think that, having said someone like him, like, when you look from the outside looking in, you're like, oh, this is amazing. But I bet in the midst of it, it's a very different setup.
Do you remember you used to sing your song in one of our shows?
Yeah.
It's a little bit funny.
Let's not do that. Whose go is it now? Is it mine? Oh, my gosh, she's still going. Fuck me. Did you pick someone?
I'm not one of those who can.
Are you kidding?
Easily.
Are you trying to get a record contract?
Oh, God, that was the
work, is it?
That was the Ellie Goulding version.
Elephant Love Melody. Who did I pick someone? Yeah, Elton John.
Yeah.
Who did you pick? Ryan Reynolds. Was he business?
Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr. Fair enough. Good ones. Right. If you had to live in a different country, where would it be?
Oh.
My hay fever is getting really bad, by the way. So if
I
start crying, it's not because I'm emotional.
Just so emotional. Well, straight away for me, I just say Australia just because I'd go and live with my brother. And I love Australia. Like, I love it. I think it's a great country. Every time I've visited, I've always just found, like, the actual landscape and the sights just so amazing. And I felt like it's the sort of place you can imagine almost like picking up what you're doing here and you could quite successfully go over there and do that.
Yeah.
I remember when I went out there when I used to work in artist management and we went out there on tour for 6 weeks. And we got on like their mainstream morning television, which is like our sort of like
Good Morning Britain,
Good Morning
or
Britain
GTV,
that
yeah.
kind of thing. And
less about like, that, the better.
Yeah, and they were like, come out for dinner and all that. And it was like real, I don't know, it's just a really weird experience.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, yeah, you wouldn't have got that
and
in
getting
the UK.
Press here is like really hard work. You think about it, like that country is the size of Europe twice, I think. Size of Europe twice.
Yeah.
And it's got 24 million people
know,
who live
crazy.
In it. And they all live around the outside of it. Whereas you think in the UK, what we've got, 69, 70 million people. So they've almost got 2.5 times the population. No, 3 times the population. Hello, good maths. Almost three times
oh,
the population.
God, normally algebra boy.
And in like 1/16th of the space.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, actually, you probably have got the opportunity to stand out because there's just less opportunities.
Yeah, it's not. Should we move to Australia?
We could be superstars.
Could you imagine?
Business Marriage Australia. If you
Down Under. G'day, mate.
Wow, moderately racist to the Australians there.
Was that racist?
That accent was racist.
Oh, sorry.
100% toward the Australians. Bad move.
Anyway, Australia, what about you?
I would be Australia as well. Or, I love Australia. For me, Australia, right, I love the people.
Yeah.
They've just got such a great vibe.
They've just got such a
they've
good
got,
mix
For me, they've
like,
got the humour of the Brits.
Yeah.
The optimism of Americans.
Yeah.
But they don't take themselves too seriously. And they've just got
outdoor. You know, like people go,
really good
oh,
way
it's
of life.
So much more outdoorsy. Like it just really is. Like here, right? You wouldn't bring the kids. I wouldn't anyway. You wouldn't get the kids home from school and be like, come on, kids, let's just go half hour. We're going to drive to the beach. You just wouldn't. Don't care. No. You wouldn't. And then when we were out there, it's like, we were just like driving for like 40 minutes just to go and do something for an hour.
Yeah, fish and chips on the beach.
Like no stress, you know. Like whereas here, it's like really planned out.
Or the really stereotypical thing, you know, like, oh, they always have barbecues and stuff. But in the evenings, they just do.
Yeah.
Like in the park, the park's got lots of like gas barbecues, aren't they?
It's
so you see a certain time of day, like everyone comes home from work and then they go
shrimp on the barbie.
Go and have a shrimp on the barbie. Sounds
so
like
Australia,
it's
you
a
said Australia or
Spain.
Yeah. See, that would have been my other Spain. We both love Spain.
Maybe I just love the culture, the
holiday
food.
Home in Spain.
There's just
would
something
be
about like
Maybe we just need to move abroad.
Again, maybe, like, yeah, but it's always different, though, isn't it? When you live, well, we have lived abroad, we've worked abroad. Maybe that's different because you know you're there for a little while.
I think when you've got kids, it changes things as well, doesn't it?
Ruins it all, doesn't it? But yeah, Australia or Spain, stick your hand in my jar.
Oi, oi.
Pick your winner. Don't be a sinner. Pick a flipping winner.
Pick
Here
a winner.
Go.
Okay. Right, oh, my goodness.
Out of the jar of doom.
If you had to get a job, what would it be?
Oh.
Okay, so if we had to stop our businesses and get a job, like, are we thinking practically? Like, as in, I think we've got to do it as in, like, using our skills.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we'd be like, oh,
I'll be
like
a fucking juggler.
Pop star.
Yeah. No, something realistic. I think, sorry, I've just burped on the microphone. I've also got a mozzie around me. I thought these citronella cannons were supposed to scare these shitheads off. Anyway, go on.
Okay.
For those of you who've tuned in late to the podcast, by the way, we're sat outside.
Al fresco. We've got so many planes going over our
planes.
House.
We've had a lot of
parakeets.
That I
don't think I've ever heard them before.
And we've also had a murder of crows. Do you know a collective of crows is called a murder?
I did know that, actually.
Knowledge.
I did know that.
Come on then. What job would you get? Pole dancer. Use your skills. Use your talents.
What would I do? Oh, I'd love to stick in design. I think I'd try and tap up Canva and try and get a job with them. That'd
really?
Be pretty cool, yeah.
Okay.
That'd be well fun.
Yeah, but Canva don't really do design, do they?
True.
They do coding. Mind you, I guess someone has to make the templates.
Yeah,
and stuff,
or
they?
I don't know, maybe I'd go and work for like a company running their branding. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Like a, oh, I don't know. Maybe like a coaching company. Like a company that's like making a difference to people.
Are you pitching for a job here? For
I don't like know, maybe, yeah. If you're a coaching company that help, maybe help women. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know really what type of company, like something fun, like an entertainment company.
Yeah.
That would be quite fun.
You basically want to go and work in
doing
design
like
for James
Sinclair. Doing like branding and design, putting on events, I'd love that. Yeah, putting on events, designing all of the like tour stuff, that would be cool. Pretty much what I used to do, really. I don't know.
So you've left that job when you actually want it back.
So basically, I would do branding and design for a company, either a coaching business that coaches people that's making an impact, or an entertainment company. So
would you want to go back into artist management? Would you do that again?
Fuck no.
No.
So
hard
fucking
work.
Draining.
Yeah.
Because you kind of like, it sounds not in a bad way, but you almost care about them more than they care about themselves.
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Okay, so you're going to be a designer or an artist?
Or do you know what? Actually, like complete.
There we go.
Complete curveball. A couple of years ago, I had an idea, and I wanted to start my own like stage school for children. Which you're probably thinking, oh my God, there's so many, and I get it. But it was more about it coming from the point of like that kind of like the confidence building. But not only would they learn like singing, dancing, acting, they would then obviously put on shows, but they would then learn how to promote those shows, how
to do the marketing of it,
market the shows, create the
posters,
find the venue, sell the tickets.
I like
that.
So
it's almost like a whole like 360 school of like teaching them to actually do the dancing, singing and acting, but then it's like everything else that goes in between. It'd be so cool, wouldn't it?
That's not really a job because that don't exist. It's like stagecoach on steroids.
Fair enough.
I don't think stagecoach would like that tagline.
What would you do?
I'd be an estate agent.
Would you?
100%. I'll go and be an estate agent.
You're not slick enough.
I'm well slick. Are you kidding? Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that the best salespeople
don't
feel like they're being sold to.
Yeah.
And with estate agency.
Yeah.
It's a hot lead.
It's the easiest thing ever.
You open the fucking front door, go, here you go, do you want to buy this house for
but
a million quid?
Just
especially
so
around here.
Like,
this house that we live in is worth £1 million. Yeah. I'm not being funny. I wouldn't fucking pay £1 million for it. The one that's over the road, that's gone for 900 grand.
Yeah,
and he's gutting out and redoing again. Easiest sell in the world. Like, here you go, here's this old rundown place. You got 900 grand
Maybe
for it.
Maybe you should
okay,
do
cool.
it, James. It'd be good.
Maybe I should.
Get some cash money.
Yeah, I would do it for... But my mate who I used to go to school with has got an amazing estate agency called Bovingdon's over back in Buckinghamshire in Beckersville. And he does like super high-end houses, like a couple of million quid plus.
Yeah.
And like the footage of them, he's got like houses on like the Thames in Henley on for sale for like 15 million
that
quid.
That would be a nice place to live.
And like that's like all the drone footage and stuff. But again, I think that with that sale, before you do the selling, before you get in the front door, what is it that you guys are looking for? What does a house need to do for you? What does a property need to do for you?
Got to sell the experience.
And then, because otherwise, you're like, oh, you know, like a box room, oh, you know, it's nicely compact.
Yeah.
You sell that like bullshitty jargon. But actually, do you know what? Find out what they want and does that house fulfill that requirement and get them to imagine themselves being there? That's how you sell a house.
I love it. I think it's your turn.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I'm just going to start putting my hands in there when I just want to speed you up a bit. Right. I've still got a few questions.
34 minutes in, we better get a crack on.
Crack on.
Right.
Get your crack
if
on.
You could go back to one moment in your life, where would you
Give
go back to?
Give me one moment in time when I'm more than I thought
seen
I
all these
could
chemtrails?
Be. What?
Subject for another day.
We're not going.
Another day.
Anyway, doing that, are we?
If I could go back to one moment in my life, where would I go back to?
Theories from James.
I've listened to
about the world.
I produced
Let's
a podcast this week. My God, let me tell you, the world is upside down.
What was the question? I spoke over you.
If you could go back to one moment in your life, which moment would you go back to?
Oh,
I 100%. I know exactly the moment I'll go back
to.
I'll go back
to. Is it when you propose?
No.
Is it when we got married?
No.
Oh, is it when I gave birth to Louis?
Yes, it is actually.
Is it?
It's Louis.
Wow.
That. I've never, ever, I can't even describe it. It was the maddest feeling ever. It was like, I've never taken ecstasy. Maybe I should have done when I was younger. Maybe to cheer me up a bit. Maybe I'll get a little bit of ecstasy.
Have it
just
now.
A little bit now.
You miserable git.
But that is the closest thing to like genuine, wholehearted euphoria I can imagine. It was, honestly, it was almost like a wave. I can't even explain it. It was like just this mad feeling. If you could bottle it, it'd be the best drug in the world.
Yeah.
It was like this wave of like love and excitement and like everything. Like I cried and I was laughing and it was like, oh, it was like euphoria. It was honestly, it was the strangest experience
of my life.
Well,
I was just so out of it. I was like, I don't even know what's going on.
All you cared about was being stitched up and having a jacket potato.
One more stitch, please. Oh, what was it in? We just watched a TV show called Colin from Accounts. If you haven't watched it, you've got to. It's
she's
so
a midwife,
funny.
Isn't she?
And one day she's just basically doing that all day. She's just sewing up the woman's vaginas after they've given birth. And every single man makes the joke of, oh, one more stitch.
Can you put another stitch in there?
And she has to like, oh yeah, funny.
I've heard that one before. Yeah, that would be the moment.
Love it. So I feel maybe
the 5 minutes leading up to it was horrific,
and the week after was terrible.
But
I haven't gone to anything on me and you together and the kids at all.
Strong.
Because I'm trying to just go with where I think straight away. So I'm going back to Australia in 2016.
The second time we went.
So when we went with our friends and we went to the Whitsundays and we sailed around the Whitsundays, which is like these little islands on a catamaran for like 4 days
that was
or something.
That was absolutely phenomenal.
And there's two moments actually, so I've cheated now. The one that I was thinking of, we had to get like off the catamaran, you get on like a little like dinghy boat, wasn't there? Like
a little dinghy speedboat. Yeah.
And then we went to the shore and there was like a hike up a... Was it a mountain? Not a mountain.
Not a mountain, but a big fuck-off hill. Yeah, yeah.
And it was like 4 hours, if I made that up. It's like a four-hour hike.
Four-hour round trip, but we didn't know that at the time,
and
yeah.
And I remember, because I hadn't even taken any trainers. So one of the girls that had come away with us, she wasn't coming on the hike. So I borrowed her trainers and we were walking for ages, weren't we?
Yeah.
And it was hot, like so, so hot. And I remember we had, a big bottle of water and it was like four or five of us, weren't there? We just kept like passing it back.
It's like a jungle climb as well, wasn't
it? Yeah,
it was. So the Whitsundays is in like the northeast of Australia, so it's like tropical. So it's almost like
it was like a jungle trek.
Amazing.
So we
with no guide,
there,
like,
and then you get to the top, and no lie,
the view
is just—I will never forget it.
It was breathtaking,
and it takes me back. I think the reason it comes to my mind, not only was that just obviously so breathtaking, I remember us all just sitting there, and given how much we'd just done, you weren't sat there like feeling out of breath or tired. It was just so uplifting that we'd put in that effort, and that was the result.
The reward, yeah.
And I remember the sun was kind of coming
down.
And we were sat on this like rock, and I remember it was quite high because one of them had like really bad vertigo, didn't he? And he was like, I don't like this. But just sitting there and looking out and just feeling like just that, like it's going to sound really corny, but like a sense of freedom of just like, oh my goodness. And I think, yeah, I think maybe that's why I feel that now we don't have freedom.
Yeah.
Whatever we do.
Evaporate.
Life has got much more like serious, but yeah, that really took me back. And the other thing was when we was on the catamaran and you just used to like anchor down, didn't you? Like wherever you wanted. And one night we'd anchor down and there was like no other boats, was there? And I just remember we had like the light. And it was just us in the sea on this catamaran and our friend Chris was doing DJ Chris. I don't know if we gave him a nickname.
And we were drunk in the back of the boat.
We were playing these like sort of clubbing house music.
That's right, yeah.
On this boat and it was just absolutely hilarious. So yeah,
we woke up. I think we got there quite late, hadn't we? So we'd sailed into there.
Yeah.
You're supposed to stop.
You'd got a horrific heat stroke. Do you remember on the first day?
Yeah, that was bad.
Learning to, they had like
that was the night
training to learn how to drive the catamaran.
Yeah, one of us could because it was like a proper boat. It was a proper boat. It was like serious. But that night we'd gone into that cove. And it was like it was already getting dark.
Yeah.
We weren't really, you're not really allowed to, you're supposed to stop before.
Oh, on that.
And then we woke up, so we didn't know where we were. So when we woke up in the morning, it was just like unbelievably beautiful.
So beautiful.
Just like a.
But on that climb, I meant to say, when we went to the top of the mountain, what we hadn't accounted for was that the time was beautiful at the top where the sun's coming down.
You were saying it was setting, yeah.
And of course, we ended up walking down the hill in pitch black.
Well, we sat there at the top when we go, oh my God, the sunset's amazing. We're like,
and I
sunsetting,
hate,
how fast can we get back down?
Honestly, I hate spiders. And my friend walked into like a massive cobweb and I was just like, oh my God.
We had one phone between us.
Awful.
Oh, we had one phone at the front and one phone at the back and that was it. We literally
phone lit. Just like in a straight line, just go. Yeah. Anyway, what was yours? I really dragged that one out.
Louis.
Oh, sorry, Daniels. Oh,
that
next question.
Louis seems insignificant now, doesn't
it?
Next to Sunset Australia.
What do you wish you tried harder at?
What do I wish I tried harder at?
It's a bit deep, that one, isn't it?
It's difficult, that one, isn't it? Because if you change anything, then it's almost like
you
the butterfly effect. Then, like, where would you have ended up?
Yeah, the only thing I think of is, like, working overseas and just cutting that off the way I did because we came back for like unfortunate circumstances and it just sort of an era of my life that was just so poignant ended so abruptly. And I think that's the only thing that I think
amazing experience, was it?
Yeah, maybe I could have tried harder to have, I don't know, like bridged a gap and got something like working with them back in the UK. But like you say, I wouldn't actually want that because things were changing. But yeah, I don't really know. What would you work harder at? I mean, I'm pretty great.
Yeah, that's true. You are pretty amazing.
No, do you know what? Actually, jokes aside, I probably should work harder at exercising because I'm not. I'm lazy.
Yeah, but that's not what that question's about. So what would you have tried harder at?
Well,
could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You know, back in my dancing days, you know, could have carried that on, but didn't.
Could have.
Could have, should have, would have.
Oh, well.
Now I'm just old and don't do anything, sit at a desk.
I think I would have, I'd be interested to know what would have happened if I'd have stayed at college and finished my business studies course.
Ooh.
But then again, like if I'd have done that, I probably would have gone and studied business at a university, then I wouldn't have ended up abroad, so then I wouldn't have met you. In fact, no, definitely, I'd go back in time and I would do that. I'd stay and I would study
right,
hard.
You're horrible.
No,
oh,
I'll
really
do that.
Come on, we
or,
can...
the other thing, what? When I had that coaching business and that came to an end quite abruptly and I was like, right, I'm stepping away from coaching.
Carried on in coaching.
Carried on in coaching in my own way, because I think I could
have. But we do have a phrase, don't we?
Every
coach.
Yeah.
Begins with C, ends in T.
Yeah.
Right. If you could change one physical thing about yourself, what would it be? I know mine straight away.
What?
My nose.
Yeah, but that's what
makes
you who
you
are.
No, I don't care. No, this makes who you are, honestly. So, you know, like people pay to have like symmetrical faces.
Yeah.
When I was in Liverpool, they had like one of these like, I can't think what it was called. It was it's like a museum where you go in and it's all like weird things. So you'd like put yourself in different positions, you take photos and it all looks funny on camera.
Right.
And one of them is you could put your face in this machine and it would show you how symmetrical your face was. And mine's like horrifically not symmetrical.
Yeah.
It's like borderline sloth from the Goonies. So for me,
you
it would be like having a straighter nose.
Really?
100%. Hate it. Yeah, definitely a better nose.
You never broke your nose, did you, as a kid?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
It must have hooked you out of your mum, like. Move it must on. Have got What's you out sideways like a sofa.
Do you want to answer or shall I answer for you?
I've got a new answer for me.
I'm joking. Come on, physical, let's speed it up.
Physical, I don't know, I'm a pretty good specimen.
I've got one.
What?
Little wrinkly ears.
Wrinkly ears?
You've got little wrinkles at your earlobes.
Yeah, so sweet. No, I probably got rid of my nose. I hate my moles as a kid. I hated having moles.
That's what happens when you get sunburned as a child.
Yeah, yeah, but no, I had them before I got sunburned.
I think Louie's going to take actually. After you. Yeah, molly, molly,
already
molly.
Already got freckles.
Come on, we can do this.
Come on.
Let's quick fire them. How long we got? Let's quick fire question round.
Come on.
This mic's so heavy.
Sorry about that.
If you were a celebrity, who would you be? If you could be a celebrity, who would you be?
Go on, you go first. Because you read it out.
Oh, God, Jennifer Aniston. I just love her.
Really?
I don't know. Just pick that
all
out.
All the celebrities, you'd be Jennifer
Aniston. No, I wouldn't.
Aniston.
I wouldn't. I would probably go for a hybrid celebrity who does, like, singing, dancing, like, who's, like, a performer and an actor.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd like to, like, experience both those. Well, I was going to say, like, J-Lo or Gaga, but I don't actually want to be either of those people, but
J-Lo,
that kind of thing.
That documentary, or like about a Beyonce, J-Lo was maybe. Really, when she was getting ready for the halftime show.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That was an amazing documentary.
But yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not, like I say, I'm not, like, I don't idolise, like, I think they're great. But maybe, like, someone like a J-Lo.
Okay, interesting.
I'm still Jenny from the block.
Oh, I knew it.
You have a little, but I have a lot. No matter where I go, you know where I came from.
Oh, just stop.
The black.
I would be...
Love don't cost a thing.
That was terrible. That was in a show we used to do, wasn't it? That's all, do you remember?
Nice.
I'd be Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I wish I'd picked him now. I wish you were Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Actually, I wish
Blake Lively. She is so ridiculously hot.
Yeah, but that's not the only reason you want to be someone, is it?
No.
No, Ryan Reynolds, because I think, like I say, he's a brilliant actor.
Mm.
He can do, like, funny stuff. He can do serious stuff. What's that one we watched? And it was just him in, an underground coffin, and he died at the end.
Buried.
Buried, there you go. Good actor. Yeah. And a very, very astute businessman. So,
love
it. There you go, I'll be Ryan Reynolds. Okay. Three more.
Let's quick fires.
This is where we need our jingles. Something a bit different today, guys. If you're just tuning in right now,
jingle,
why are you tuning in right
jingle,
now?
Jingle.
You can still hear the outside. It. If you're watching on YouTube, sorry, it's got really dark all of a sudden because the sun has set.
Oh my God, can you not see us?
The house. Guilty pleasure, thing, song, or person you love but you shouldn't. I've got a weird one,
Oh, God.
I mentioned this to you earlier.
Weird.
Guilty pleasure. I think he's an abhorrent human being, but I'm fascinated by what's happened in the last couple of years. Andrew Tate.
Really?
I think Andrew Tate is fascinating.
You hate him and you think he's awful.
I don't like him as a person. I think he's misogynistic.
I don't like him.
But he's... his ascent to fame has been so fast and so big.
Yeah.
You know, in a world where, you know, everyone believes in freedom of speech, like everyone believes in freedom of speech apart from this guy. You know, there's terrorists who are putting beheading videos on YouTube and they get less heat than Andrew Tate, who talks about misogynistic things. Now, again, I don't approve of what he says.
No.
I don't agree with what he says. I don't frankly fucking like what he says.
But you just find it fascinating how someone makes that impact.
And then he said, the government aren't going to like me. I've got too much power. They're going to take me down. What happens? He goes to Romania. He gets put in prison. And now he's come out and he's literally doing an interview with the BBC last week and saying about, like, what's going to happen next. He's like, if I ever die, know that I would never kill myself. That's the story they'll tell you, but I would never kill myself. I just think, and he came out of nowhere. I remember about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, just starting seeing him popping up on podcasts and then like Rob Moore, I know, had him on, and Samuel Leeds, who I know, had him on. And then at one point when we were doing the Clubhouse stuff, Andrew Tate was offered to us as a guest.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not fucking interested in speaking to that guy.
No, no.
But the more... I just find him fascinating. He's definitely guilty pleasure though, because I don't.
Because you hate him, but it's like
I might get him on my podcast.
Oh, well, mine,
I might do it. I might go to Romania.
Don't
I might get my business marriage.
Please don't. So again, I'm going where you said like guilty pleasure, and this is quite a sad thing to admit.
I'd like to be Ryan Reynolds' jockstrap.
So every morning before I start work, so after I drop the kids at school, I come home. And I make myself a cup of tea and I blare a song out.
Oh, do you?
On Alexa.
Okay.
And the song, you're not going to guess what it is. So it's
Tell me the genre.
So
80s pop ballad.
No, it's from my repping days. It's from my days of working overseas as an entertainer. It was a song that the company Thomas Cook played at every big event.
Everybody.
It was like
Proud.
Yeah.
You hate Heather Small.
I know. So I absolutely, no, I hate M People. I hate it. I don't know why. If an M People song comes on, I hate it. But when I worked for Thomas Cook, the song, What Have You Done Today to Make You Feel Proud? And they used to play it.
You're really like, trying to get yourself a recording contract.
I know,
today,
aren't you? I know. I'm not, by the way. I just thought we haven't got jingles. So. And they used to play it at every event. And it was so funny. Like, if you'd got an award or at, like, you know, like the big events every year. And I don't know. I just remember it being like a really iconic song. So it's really shameful. But I play Heather Small, Proud, before I start my day.
Every day?
Every day.
I did not know that about you. Wow.
That's sad, okay. Right?
Take something out of the jar, of treats. We've got one more left after this. Then you got the penultimate.
Okay,
you love that word.
The penultimate question.
Shout out to Rob Bushell, who invented the word penultimate.
Say that word, and I'd be like, really, is that a real word? Favourite fairground ride? Ooh. We went to a fair, didn't we?
Went to a fair today, that's why we talked
about it. In our local town.
That was a fucking ropey fair, by the way.
Hate things like teacups. Hate that. Hate that. Oh, fairground, because that's very different, isn't it, to like a theme park.
Or a theme park. Fairground or theme park. Favourite ride.
No, it can't be theme. Maybe a pier. It could be a pier. Do you know what I used to love when I was younger?
Ghost train.
No, the waltzer.
Oh, really?
Oh, we just used to have such a laugh when it just spins and spins and spins and there's nothing you can do about it. And you've just got that pulse.
Yeah,
because I grew up going, Walton Pier in Essex, and it was just like, just the pulse. And it would just spin, and sometimes they're not allowed to do it anymore, but they used to actually come and spin you.
Come and spin you, yeah.
And I think when I was little, I remember once I was so ill, I like puked all over my cousin Jodie, which was quite amusing.
You used to say, didn't I, scream if you want to go faster.
Yeah. So yeah, the waltzer. I mean, now I'm terrible. I'd probably just be sick as a dog. But the waltzer.
Isn't that a weird saying? Waltzer. Sick as a dog. How sick are dogs? Like, dogs are just like the moderate amount of sick.
Do they puke up their own? You know, like cats just like puke up furballs and stuff. Do dogs do that?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, my ride would be a roller coaster. I love a roller coaster. I know you said we can't have it as a theme park, but do you remember when we went to Busch Gardens when we were in
Don't
America?
Don't talk to me about that one that went like that.
It was unbelievable.
There was a ride at Busch Gardens that as soon as it started, you were basically, I can't explain it, so you were looking up at the sky, so your car was like right back.
Then it would drop you backwards, wouldn't it?
Oh my God, it was horrific. Yeah. I've never been so scared in all my life.
It was unreal. Busch Gardens was amazing. That's where we did the horror houses, didn't we, on
horror
Halloween?
Horror houses,
they were fucking scary over there.
And James hates being jumped out of.
Fucking hate it.
And all of the different mazes. Do you remember the clown one?
Yeah.
And there was just these people.
They'd chase you with chainsaws
and
stuff, wouldn't they?
They would just jump out of you and they don't care. It's not like, oh, we can't go near you. Like, they're in your face, they're touching. Yeah. And not in a good way.
Not in a good way. Freddy Krueger had his fingers up my mouth.
Oh.
Freddy.
That would bloody hurt, wouldn't it?
Do you remember that, though? It was like, please do not touch the actors or react.
Well, we're watching a TV show at the minute called The Boys.
Oh, my God.
And we're a bit slow to this.
Don't give it away. No, don't. You do spoilers.
But
it's very good. Watch it. It's on Prime.
It's so brutal. It's like horrific. But
final
question
of today's podcast.
Okay.
Supposed to be quick fire, wasn't quite quick fire. Thanks for tuning in today, guys, by the way. I know it's been a bit of a different podcast.
Like, Alfresco's like
really.
I
do, really chilled.
It's not, probably not quite as funny this week, but I've really enjoyed it.
I like the fact you think we're funny anyway.
Well, no, we're not funny,
quite,
but you know what I mean?
Quite
like,
arrogant.
I feel very relaxed.
Quite arrogant, but there you go. Okay, final question. What era would you have lived in and why?
Oh, the 60s, 100%.
I knew you'd say that.
I'd have been like there, black and white, mini skirts, fake eyelashes, the lot. I'd have been there in the cavern, screaming at the Beatles. Yeah.
Down, down, down. We sung at the cavern, haven't we?
The 60s.
That was good.
She loves you, yeah.
Just stop with the singing today. What era would I have been in?
Definitely the 60s. Oh, I know yours.
I've got two.
If you don't say what I'm thinking, you're lying.
I got two eras. It'd be like the 1930s swing era, like Sinatra era.
100%.
The 30s into the 40s, but then I've got to go through the World War and stuff. I really want to do that. So I didn't want to do that. So, was he the 20s or the 50s, was he, Sinatra? Anyway, Sinatra era. I'd go Sinatra era. Or I would have absolutely loved to have been alive and about 18 years old. So I'd have to be born in the 50s, And then, so by the time I get to 18, I hit disco era in New York.
God.
I'd have been there in like a little boob tube thing.
With like your roller blades,
tiny little shorts up to my
boob
butt.
Boob tube?
Yeah, like a little boob tube. They were like skimpy things, didn't they?
Did they?
In disco times, yeah. I think I might be thinking of the Birdcage.
I'm just not sure. I can't imagine
Robin Williams
you
film where they're like in the gay 70s.
On roller skates.
I think I should
have been we get this out
a gay 70s roller skater.
If anyone emails in and requests to see James as a roller skater in the 70s in Lycra
guys,
and some face
done.
Glitter, let me know.
Consider
and I'm going to
done.
Make that happen. I'm only going to do it if someone actually messages the show.
No, not one person, 10.
Ten people
message the show.
The show, but then if we
just
don't
message
do it,
the show
we know
with
that no
the
one
word
isn't.
Glitter.
Glitter.
You like that?
Glitter. Oh no, maybe not glitter. Move away from that.
Take out the
Let's
glitter.
Maybe not go the glitter.
Yeah.
Just say Disco James. And oh my god, I would just pay to get
my
an outfit for that.
Right, can we wrap this podcast up now? My
wrap it up.
Thank you for tuning in today.
Oh, no, you itchy.
To the podcast of Don't Never Rub Your Eyes. You've got Avery, whoever you do it.
Yeah, well, we know that. Anyway, you have been listening to the Marriage Podcast Al Fresco, and we hope you've enjoyed the show.
And we'll see you again next week. If you have enjoyed the show, let us know. If you'd like us to do more of these like layback, ambient, citronella candle vibes, then feel free to let us know via the link of the show. So if you thought it was shit, just text
fair,
us the word
it's irrelevant,
shit.
Because it just depends
text
on
text us
diary.
The word shit out.
Yeah, so this was utter shit. And don't forget, if you do want to win yourself a mug, who's a mug?
We haven't even talked about that today. You can't just thumb that in lastminute.com.
Oh, these mugs are going. These are global now. these have gone global.
I might have sent somebody a mug.
Really?
We might have a conversation coming up.
What?
And they might need a mug.
A conversation?
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny. Guys, it'll be revealed. All be revealed to you.
I don't know that I like where this
terrible
is going.
Terrible cliffhanger. Terrible cliffhanger, but there
Anywho,
you go. Anyway, guys, we love you a long
later.
Time. See you later. Bye.
Bye, friend.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.